used to think about immature things. You know, like, do you love me? Do you want me? Are you gonna call me like you said you would? Is this really your real phone number?
Boy, I said it great, folk. Niggas wanna jack shit tight, no snack. Just bought a Cadillac.
Put some D's on that bitch.
Just bought a Cadillac.
Put some D's on that bitch.
Just bought a Cadillac. Rich boy, I said it great, folk. Niggas wanna jack shit tight, no snack. Just bought a Cadillac.
Put some D's on that bitch.
Just bought a Cadillac.
Throw some D's on that bitch.
Just bought a Cadillac. Selling crack, folk. Niggas
wanna. Welcome everybody to the Voice and Poncho Radio Show. This is episode 42, dropping for you on March 1st, 2013. The sequester is official. The government of the United States has $85 billion in cuts, but the VNP revenue is up 100.1% this week, Poncho.
The donations flood in, brother, and what perfect timing, Tools. The Oscar for Best Producer of a leading poll goes to...
Okay, he's opening it up.
Poncho Unchained, starring yours truly, the people have spoken, Tools. Show 42, let's blast through it, brother.
Wow, Poncho Unchained, I don't...
You see that movie?
No,
yeah, I... Yeah, you watch it every day, you love me, you worship me, brother.
Let's get into it. We got some crazy topics to get into.
We do.
The biggest thing today, the biggest thing that... we are excited about here.
Extremely.
Andrew Bynum has a degenerate knee issue. Never thought he had a knee issue, and he will not play. It's probably safe to say he will never play a game as a Philadelphia 76er. Poncho, does this bother you? Give me your stance on this.
Well, it brings two questions to my mind. First one, where'd you get that shirt? Second one, if he doesn't end up back with the Sixers, which you're set on saying he's not going to, where is he going to go? Who the hell is going to sign this guy? It'd be as stupid as the Sixers were for bringing him in. I have no idea where he's going if he's not staying with Philly. He didn't play a game all year.
This is my stance, and this has always been my stance on the Bynum issue. I was concerned that he would come back this year. He'd play 20 games. He would play fairly well, and then the Sixers would commit to a 3 or 4 year max contract with him, tie up all that money, and he would never play, barely ever. I'm glad he's not playing. Sixers, listen, they rolled the dice. They gambled. I don't blame them for that. They traded away a lot, but it didn't work out. Walk away from them. Walk away, Poncho.
Right, and I know you're ready to do that. You give up. You quit real easy, Tools. Anything that's challenging, you're going to back away from quick. But here's one point I want to put before you. Bynum was the game changer that this team needs, okay? Where is that potential game changer in this offseason? No, there is none, Tools.
But he's not the answer.
I agree. How do you actually sign a guy that can't play and has shot knees? I agree.
This is the answer, and this is what I do. If I am the Sixers GM right now, I don't sign a doggone person. I take this stiff Evan Turner. I ship him away. I take this stiff Spencer Halls against the Orlando Magic.
Darn rebound, Tools.
Can I finish my point?
Okay, finish it. You never finish anything else.
He gets one rebound. I get rid of Spencer Halls. You tank next year. You got a ton of money. Draft some players. There's a bunch of players coming out. And then just rebuild.
What a plan. Thank you to all our listeners here. Wonderful advice from Tools. But here's why you don't take Sixers advice off of The Voice. He has no insiders because he's been banned from all Sixer-related activities since security caught you sniffing through Keith Van Horn's warm-up pants. So you have no inside information and no idea what this team needs. Me, as a die-hard Sixer fan, told us I'm not content with sitting for another dud season. I'm not. I want to win a team.
I had a couple people on Twitter get at me this week, and they were saying, you know, that the scuttlebutt is, well, Chase Utley has degenerate knees, right? Or whatever you want to call it, whatever the condition is. And they say, well, everybody is being so hard on Andrew Bynum. They feel it is a race issue. They feel that people are way too hard on the guy. I'm not hard on the guy, but he doesn't produce. The only thing that matters in sports is winning. And I'm not sure if people forgot this moment from Chase Utley. I'm gonna
just remind them.
Let's play it for him.
World champions. World fucking champions.
To make my point, Chase Utley drove down Broad Street drinking beer, celebrating a championship. Andrew Bynum never played a game for Philadelphia. That's the difference. You're, not race, winning.
You're right in more than one way there, Tools. You are hard on guys. Everybody knows that. And yeah, you're right. How can Bynum be even compared to Utley? Utley is proven, has a track record. But I'll put this out there for you, Tools. The Sixers, it just feels like deja vu all over. Remember when they had a point guard and no big man? So they went and got Chris Webber? Same deal with Elton Brand. Now we got a point guard again and no big man. So we reach for this bum, this stupid dope with bad hair. I'm sick of this Sixers whirlwind we're in. It's the same thing every year.
Well, when they had a point guard, who are you referring to Allen Iverson?
Of course.
Who played the two?
But, no. We all know what I'm talking about there.
But they went, they had Theo Ratliff, and they traded him for Dikembe Mutombo, and they lost. But if you remember, Shaquille O'Neal got away with murder back then. He would come down the lane, slam into a person, and then they'd call the foul Mutombo or Webber when he was with Sacramento. At BenNeck76 will tell you this. I will tell you this this day. Those officials had to fix. There was a gambling issue in the NBA. Tools, at that
are
time.
You telling
there
me
there was a gambling issue in the NBA?
Are you telling me the Sixers in 2001 would have beat the Lakers if it was called fair and square?
What I would say is, if you just
get out of this room right now, you have no reason to even be in this studio if you're talking that trash.
Review a couple games that Shaquille O'Neal was in, and the way that they babied him and the calls went his way are suspicious.
Yeah, and we all know, Tools, the reason Chris Wheeler doesn't need a chair in the studio is because he sits on you. You worship him. So get the bias out of here. Poncho gives it straight, and I think that's what people appreciate.
Let's look for some hope with Philadelphia. The Flyers.
Yeah.
Would you say there's some rays of light? Or
I think so, Tools. I actually think this team's going to make the playoffs. I really do. I think they have the offense. I don't think there are many dominant teams, Tools, especially in the East. So, I mean, Pittsburgh, they're decent, but it's still Pittsburgh. You know, we're still talking about a team that doesn't wear deodorant and eats hot dogs with extra relish every single day. So I'm not scared of Pittsburgh, but I think this team will contend. I think they'll get in as a 6 or a 7 seed, and they'll contend.
Papelbon brought up an issue with the Phillies. He felt there was no leadership with them last year. How I'm going to tie this into the Flyers is, I think there's a leader on the Flyers, which makes the biggest difference on a team. Claude Giroux.
Yep.
He's a leader. He called his team out the other day.
Yeah, he did.
And what did he do? He stepped up a la Pittsburgh, decking Crosby, scoring a goal. He did that in the game. Claude Giroux is a leader.
Yep.
The Sixers have squat for leadership. The Eagles, hopefully someone's going to fill the void there.
Yeah.
I believe the Phillies have leadership.
Yep.
I understand Papelbon's point.
Good point.
But I'm just saying the Flyers, I enjoy watching them. I'm enjoying them.
I do too.
I think they can turn things around.
Good point. Yeah, it's the only thing good as far as Philly sports goes right now, Tools. And if I can make this night even better, boom, boom, just exploded all over you, Tools. And
you just got your beer all over your octane mode.
One Sixers Flyers point I did want to make, though, not to get everybody upset and worrisome, but if you notice, Brizgalov is playing a lot of hockey games, Tools. And I want to know right now, who's going to back this guy up if we need a spot start or if this guy gets dead tired by the end of the year?
That's the least of my concern.
Well, you know what? That's why you're a B-grade host on an A-grade show, only an A because I'm on it.
It's a 42-whatever-game season, and you're worried about Brizgal's backup?
Tools,
I don't care what you're talking about.
No, Tools, get it right. If you're playing every game, it's going to come back and kick you. The playoffs will involve 20, 25 games if we go all the way to the Cup.
We've established
this. Is your first season watching hockey.
We established this in show 7. He's a Russian. Russians are tougher than most people we know. He'll be fine.
Drago, good point. Ivan Drago was a hell of a man. He was a piece of meat. I loved him. This is no Ivan Drago, though, Tools. No Ivan Drago. Can I make a Sixers point, another Sixers point for you?
Oh, now you're, okay, go back.
You know what really pisses me off, other than you and your hairstyles? Why is everybody whining and complaining? Oh, it doesn't matter. It's a strike season. Does that really matter, Tools? If the Flyers go and win the Stanley Cup this year, Claude Giroux hoisted over his brawny shoulders, are you going to be saying, oh, I don't really care, it was a strike season?
No. That's
the fact of the matter is, this season's perfect. That's why these games are enticing and entertaining, because there's not 82 of them.
The last strike season that Philadelphia sports endured that was positive, if you remember when the Sixers had Theo Ratliff and Iverson, they had a strike season that year, and they went, I forget what the record was, but they were
awesome. You do. Eric Lindros won the Hart Trophy that year, Tools. Boy, are you ever obsessed with that 0-1 Sixers team.
Eric?
Jesus, Kay. I mean, all you do is talk about Theo Ratliff, brother. And he
Eric
was hurt when they
Lindros
got to the final.
Turned 40 this week. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that. Well, he's not as celebrated as Charles Barkley for obvious reasons.
So you're telling me with your brother, who was the biggest Lindros fan in the world, you didn't know he turned 40?
I did not know that, actually.
Well,
no.
You suck as a host as well.
Well, you know what, Tools? There's a reason why everybody wants this show to be called the Poncho and Poncho Show. You bring nothing to the table other than a bottle of vodka. You stink! And in more ways than one. I got one more Flyers point, please.
Which team?
One more Flyers point, if I could. Tell me right now, Tools, if you can recall a team on the offensive side with a guy like Giroux that got you this excited.
Wow. An offensive team that got
for the
me
Flyers. For the Flyers.
For the Flyers? Maybe the Crazy 8 line.
Yeah, good point. I was going to say the Crazy 8s with Recchi and Lindros. Yeah, good call.
And who else? Recchi?
Oh, Brent Fedek. He was kind of a dope. You didn't know that, Tool. You thought there was only two guys on the line, for God's sake. But one thing I did want to say, though, before we move on, Tools. I think people need to know that we're on Twitter, at The Voice Poncho, and we also have a website, Tools, www.thevoiceponcho.com.
And as people know by now, we are a listener-supported station.
Tell them about that
listener
donation.
Supported.
People are starting to dip into the wallets.
At Press EJC.
Yeah.
Came up big this week for the biggest donation ever to The Voice and Poncho, $10. And 1 cent.
And
He went 1 cent higher than the last record of $10.
Which was B_Croce. But the fact of the matter is, Tools, we really appreciate these donors. We work hard. I work hard for this show. I study. I do a lot of research. So just fans, we appreciate it. Keep pumping the money into us. You'll get it back in the end with ear pleasure. Trust us.
So do you have any more Phillies points, or don't you care about the
Phillies?
Well,
we didn't get to the Phillies yet, Tools. I know your short term is about 15 seconds, but spring training's in full force. For some reason, Dom Brown is hitting the ball, and the pitching has looked good, other than Papelbon.
Are you worried at all about Ruff?
I'm worried about you stuffing pretzels down your throat while we're supposed to be doing a radio show here, but I don't have expectations for Ruff, Tools. I mean, the guy's, what, almost 30, and he's never played in the majors, I think, for a reason. So if we get anything out of this guy, I think we should be happy, because the fact of the matter is he's a minor leaguer at this point in my life.
Are you encouraged by Howard's hitting?
I guess I am. It's spring. I mean, anytime a guy's hitting the ball, I don't care what month it is, it's encouraging. So, but that brings hitting. Give me your batting order. Do you have one?
Yeah, I have one. High Cheese would probably disagree with it, because Jimmy Rollins is in the leadoff, but I have one.
Yeah, well, go ahead.
Ben Revere, one.
Right on.
Okay. The third baseman from Texas, second.
Wow, you don't even know the team. So you're going Michael Young, second. Okay.
Third, Jimmy Rollins.
Okay.
Fourth, Ryan Howard.
Okay.
Fifth, Chase Utley.
Okay.
Sixth, Dominic Brown.
Okay.
But that's three lefties in a row, I know.
Yeah, well, you know, you didn't do any research. Everybody knows that. They're just waiting for my order. But seventh. And you forget who else is on the team.
Whoever the starting right fielder is.
Here they are. Revere, Rollins, Michael Young, Howard, Utley, Ruiz, Dom Brown, Ruff, and the pitcher. That's what I got.
Oh, so you're going to start Ruff.
But
the guy that you just buried.
Okay, Tools.
You acted like he wasn't even going to be on the field, but you have him as your starting.
Okay, Tools. I'm just asking you who you're going to put out there in place of Ruff.
Probably Mayberry.
Oh, get the hell out of here.
That's
John Mayberry Jr. could not hit his way out of a wet soap bag.
That is probably who it's going to be. Mayberry starting opening day. You don't think so?
I'm done with this guy, Tools. I want to give Ruff at least a shot.
And who's your opening day catcher? You assume Ruiz?
Well, I know.
He's suspended for 25 games.
Tools.
I'm not sure if you're
okay.
aware of that.
Okay, Tools. Okay, right. Okay, but you want me to put down a backup catcher? Give me my notes. Well, okay, now the show will be good because you took my notes.
So I got your notes in my hand, and they say opening day starters, and you have Ruiz listed.
Oh, it doesn't say opening day.
Go
read it.
The show.
It says Phil's order. You're ridiculously a dope. You're obviously drunk, and you stink. So where else are we going with this show? Is there anything left on the show?
Yeah. How about Cole Hamels dominating the Braves?
Oh, that's no surprise.
Everybody scare the Braves. I think the Braves are very good. But did you ever see how many strikeouts are in their order? You think the Phillies got a lot
Freddie
of strikeouts?
Freddie Freeman, Hayward,
There's a ton of strikeouts.
Upton's, you're
and
right.
You don't think that's going to favor the Phillies if they have a healthy pitching staff?
Of course it will, Tools. But I'm talking about a complete team here. I'm still a little concerned with the Phillies' order. I have questions with Revere.
Yeah.
I have questions with the outfield, obviously. Two of the outfield positions.
Really?
So, I mean, I'm not really confident right now that we're just going to start mopping up pitchers. How could you be?
It's all going to come down to the health, as I've said before, of Roy Halladay. And it's also going to say, will Kendrick be able to produce the way he did last year? Do you have any faith in Kyle Kendrick?
I think all of our fans right now are quietly asking themselves how you could say this Philly season hinges on Kyle Kendrick, the fourth starter, when we have two all-pro hitters coming back that are obviously the hinge of the season. You're clueless.
When did they start having all-pro hitters?
You know exactly what I'm talking about, Tools.
Is it the NFL?
You know exactly what I'm talking about.
The point I'm trying to make about Kyle Kendrick is this. The Phillies hitting is going to be better than last year, but not what it used to be. So, pitching is going to be very, very important. Cliff Lee, Hamels, they'll be lights out. Don't worry about them. Halladay, he has the potential to be almost lights out. So, if you then throw an above-average younger pitcher, Kendrick, in the mix, and he does well, they're fighting for a wild card. It's going to be tough to win this division.
I know.
So, they're fighting for a wild card. Teams that win the wild card win it with pitching.
Tools, there's two staffs in this division other than the Phils that are very good. So that's why I think it's going to be the hitting. It's going to hinge on the hitting.
Then the Phillies are in trouble.
Okay, so all of a sudden you've gone from we're winning the series to we're out of it in a matter of 2 minutes. So let's move on. You've obviously proven no points in the Phils. Did you watch the Oscars, Tools?
Oh, if anybody follows me on any type of social media, they know I watch the Oscars.
So nobody knows you watch the Oscars until now. Okay. A lot of awards weren't aired by CBS, here they are. I just want to recite them for our fans. Longest line of coke goes to Kristen Stewart, that unbelievable dope from what is it, Tools? Do you watch that?
Oh, the vampire thing.
Yeah.
You think, no.
She's a mess.
I would have given the longest line of coke probably to Ben Affleck, because did you see his acceptance?
Yeah.
Look at that boy. He was hyped.
Yeah, he was. Worst rack, I give to Charlize Theron. Let's be honest, Tools.
That dress?
She doesn't even need a top. There's nothing there.
Listen, I am so happy that you presented me this opportunity to discuss the dresses and the boobs at this year's Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
There was like this style that swept the Oscars that said, okay, these women that have wonderful breasts, best breasts in the world, let's create dresses that make them look like they really don't have good breasts. Salma
Hayek.
At all.
Yeah. It's one of them.
I am flabbergasted about these girls. Put those boobs out. I don't get it. It's like having a 5-carat diamond and covering it up.
Yeah. And Jennifer Lawrence and Jennifer Garner, both of them are overrated. I got no love for them. Also, here, too.
No. If you had to go home with one chick that night and you could lay into her for the night, which one would it have been?
I got to be God's honest with you. I think Nicole Kidman keeps that body tight, and I would just love to go around with her.
That is a very good call. Nicole Kidman looks really
good. I like
really
that voice, too, Tools.
You know who I would have chosen?
Adele?
Jamie Foxx's daughter.
Oh, Christ. How old is she, 10? I don't even know who that is.
No, she's 19.
I didn't see her.
Oh, you didn't see his daughter.
Oh, she was the one in that Beasts of the West movie. That little girl that kept showing.
No. He took his daughter, and she's pretty doggone hot. Obviously,
is that right?
He had her when he was like 17.
Yeah. Well, that's fine. But fullest pack of birth control pills. Adele, obviously. Who would get anywhere near that sexually?
Well, the money would be good.
Yeah, but Tools, she is a big old girl. Worst ophthalmologist, Richard Gere. I don't know if you saw those Coke bottle lenses. That guy looked terrible. His hair looked terrible as well.
I didn't. Richard Gere, what, his glasses you're making
fun of? Oh, my God, yeah. He looked ridiculous, Tools. But
all right, what was your favorite movie this year?
I'm going to go with Argo.
Okay, you saw it, I assume.
Yeah, I like that one part there they showed in the previews. I didn't see any of these movies, Tools. I don't watch that highbrow stuff.
All right, so thanks for chewing pretzels on there. You and your woman are home for the weekend. Which movie would you rather see? Zero Dark Thirty, Django Unchained, or Argo?
I would go Argo. I'm not a big fan of the Zero
Dark
Thirty
is
too serious.
This is why you're an idiot. You have zero class when it comes to TV shows. You have zero class when it comes to movies.
Well, Tools, you know what? There's a reason that you're on this. There's a reason, Tools, that you have no credibility in any realm of life. And that's because you're a loser and you're a drunk and you don't score with women. Guy like me, I pull all kind of weight at the bar. I pull all kind of weight in all facets of life.
So you were saying that you were watching some of the combine this week. You're watching some of the combine.
Yeah, I was actually, Tulsa. And you know what? We should tell our fans what's going to happen between you and I.
We got in a little argument. You said that you could run what in the 40? What did you think?
I'm not making any guarantees. But the voice in Poncho will run the 40 with professional clocking and timing, and we're going to have video of this, and we're going to have the results posted on Twitter, and we're going to do that this week, Tools.
Just to make it clear for the listeners, Poncho thinks he's going to be faster in the 40 than the voice. So we're going to have video. You guys on Twitter, you can pick who you feel is going to win. You can pick who you think is going to lose. You can predict times. All of that. So this week, we're going to tape it. It's going to be on the air for everybody to see.
Yeah, and I don't think anyone is going to be vouching for you, Tools. The last thing you ran was an Adobe Reader update on your PC. Last time you saw a 40, it had an old English label attached to it. Your athleticism was gone, long gone.
All right, we got a little news for the 717 here. This is our local talk. Are you aware that Club Good Times in Columbia, Pennsylvania, there was a vote if they could go fully nude up there. And it was turned down, Poncho.
Thank the Lord. I don't know if you've ever been to Columbia.
Oh, I've been to Club Good Times. Well,
is that right? Tools, I wouldn't want to see any part of these women without clothes. They're ridiculous. This is not Al's Diamond Cabaret we're talking here.
Have you been to Club Good Times?
No, I have not.
All right. Well, how do you know if you want to see him nude or not?
Tolls, all I know is the lead dancer is also the general manager, and she's been dancing since 1989. Do the math.
That's not possible.
I swear on anything that that is the truth. She owns the place, and she's been dancing since 89. So put that together.
Whatever. If they want to dance fully nude, I don't think.
Well, obviously, anytime you're getting near a woman with no clothes, you'll gobble the opportunity up, Tolls, because who would get near you?
So the combine's going to be going down. Everybody's got to see that. That's going to be really intense.
It is. And I'm not going to guarantee victory, but I'm going to guarantee you lose and pull a hamstring.
I thought you were guaranteeing victory.
Yeah, the fact of the matter is, I'm not sure how fast I am, Tools. I know back in the day, I was somewhere around 4'8". We'll see. Time is taking its toll.
4'8", my ass.
What do you know, Tools? All you do is are buried into Harry Potter and Super Fudge novels.
You will be lucky to get under 6.
Well, we'll see, and it'll all be on Twitter.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to the VMP. Don't forget to get on the website, get on Twitter, and have a great week.
I've been searching for someone who can share that special.